How are we? Pastor, this would be great. I know it's crazy. You've got a beautiful glass pulpit, and I'm going to get this cheap black stand. But there are things that you just get comfortable with. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And this is one of them. And and I apologize, Pastor, that I didn't spring that on you earlier. But this is great. This is awesome. How many of you love your pastor and his lovely bride, Sarah? Oh, come on. You can do better than that. We're so honored to be here with you this morning. My wife and I get a privilege to minister throughout the United States, and we're thankful for where the Lord has us. But I'm going to tell you right now, we come to a lot of places. We visit a lot of places. We're in a lot of churches. And I want to share this because I shared it with Sarah right before service. But even folk here, folk, we okay to say folk? I say that in the South, and so it's just folk. If you need interpretation of what I'm about to say in the days to, or in the minutes to come, please see my wife. I don't know how well that's going to help you because she's deeper South. She's from Alabama, is where she's born and raised, and so I'm South Carolina, born and raised. And but we just love, and people have asked us from the South, hey Brian, how do people talk in Iowa? And you know what I tell them? I just say they talk right. They just talk right. And did you know what? I found out later that they actually, by design, they pull a lot of people into the news network out of the Midwest because they don't have a real heavy accent. Now, I've been in the southern Iowa, and there's some southern down there going on, deep southern. But again, we're just glad to be here. But my wife and I get the privilege to minister in places, and we're so thankful. But I shared this with Sarah. There was such a warmness from the people, even before Pastor got to me, even before his son got to me, which he's a trip in all the right ways. But out in the parking lot, just greeted, hey, God bless you. So glad to have you here today. And there's something about there. I just told my wife, I said, baby, and we don't get to say this everywhere, we just feel at home. We just feel at home. And so God bless you. And you have a prince of a preacher. He did not give me things to say. Come on. He's what I call in that upper 10%. I'll just say it. Now, don't ask me where that falls. I'm not going to go there. But anything 10 and above is amazing. But it's a prince of a preacher and his family. And we have just come to love them and to know them, and so we're just super thankful. I will say this, though, and Pastor, he knows this this morning, but my son got to meet you in the very first Tulip Time getaway that we did. That's really how we really officially met in Pella. And my son, Chase, met him out in the parking lot. My family was there that weekend, too, celebrating Tulip Time, and we were having a good time. It was our first as a family, and they lived down in Springfield, Missouri. And after that conversation and just the love of Jesus and the love of God in them, my son, as we walked into town, he says, Dad, if I lived here, I could follow that man. Now, that's my boy, and he's been raised up under some good men of God in his life. And so when he says that, that's a real deal. And my son's real, he'll tell you like it is. So I'm so just glad you're here this morning. You look good. Our Christmas is done. We're over. Come on, baby, give me a high five. We are finished. How many of you are finished with shopping? Oh, God bless you. The rest of you, good luck. That's all I can say. It's just good luck. But again, let's have a little fun before we get started, because in this Advent series, I'm going to take a little bit of a detour, but I really believe the Holy Spirit's going to help us bring it right back around to where you guys have been. And my wife and I even have taken the time to watch the videos over the last few weeks just to pray and seek the Lord and what he would say and do in this moment. And so, but Pastor's very kind. He's like, this is where we're at, but you be led of the Holy Ghost of where the Lord wants to lead you. And but let's have a little bit of fun, because we're going to get to joy in just a moment. And there's an old Italian gentleman lived alone in New Jersey. He wanted to plant his annual tomato garden. It was very difficult to do because the ground was so hard. Everybody say the ground was hard. You're with me. His only son, Vincent, who used to help him in prison, was now in prison. The old man wrote a letter to his son describing his predicament. Dear Vincent, I'm really feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would be happy to dig the plot for me, like in the old days. Love, Papa. A few days later, he received a letter from his son. Dear Papa, don't dig up that garden. That's where the bodies are buried. Love, Vinny. At 4 a.m. the next morning, FBI agents and the local police arrived and dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and left. The same day, the old man received another letter from his son. Dear Papa, go ahead and plant those tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. Come on, lift your hands up in this place. And can you just give Jesus a great big praise? Come on, we've come to worship him. We've come to lift him up. Oh, just take just a few moments right now, right where we're seated. Oh, God, we love you in this Christmas season. And God, I know that as people, we love you. But Lord, I know sometimes in these moments, in these seasons, we get away from what the real true meaning of Christmas is. Oh, Holy Spirit, bring us back. Bring us to a place in this place, Lord, today and in this hour. And Lord, I believe there are decisions that will be made in this place that will affect their family. It will affect their work. It will affect their job. It will affect moments in their life. And God, we know that you're doing things in America. You're doing things in this world that is beyond our understanding. But we must keep our eyes off of doubt. Keep our ears out of doubt. Maybe that's to quit watching certain news programs, because God, you are in control. You're doing a mighty, mighty work in your people. I've never seen a moment in time in this last 6 to 8 months where the people of God have been so hungry for the things of God. It's almost like, God, we've come out of this season of COVID and this craziness. And God, you were still God. You were still on the throne. You were there. And so, God, but we come into this season right now, and there seems to be such a desperation for just the things of God. Maybe it's the simpler things that we remind ourselves back in our past. But Lord, help us in this moment, in this time, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray that you show up great and do mighty things. So God, today, would you just do that? Would you show up and do mighty things in this place today? We love you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look good this morning. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, you need some help. I went there. Don't make me come out there and point you out either. You know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about this morning. You do. Some of you like this. Who, me? Title of my message this morning is simply this: Mary's Merry Christmas. Say that with me. Ready? Mary's Merry Christmas. Say it again. Mary's Merry. Now say it faster. Mary's Merry Christmas. Faster. Mary. I find it difficult. I just do. And I'm sorry. That wasn't in my notes. That was free. Everybody say first Christmas. I want to take you back into your Bible in just a moment. Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, although she was facing challenges, right, that no woman before or since have faced. But Mary had a very, very merry Christmas. In fact, we're going to look at it together. She exploded with joy. She exploded in joy. She couldn't help but be joyous. She sang a song, as a matter of fact, that's found in the book of Luke. Turn with me if you have your Bibles this morning. I've got it built into my iPad, but I'm going to give you time. It's Luke chapter 1. There's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I know many of you are going, well, Pastor Brian, we kind of know that. Listen to me. Never negate. God's going to bring people in here, and he's doing it now, that are going to get saved right out of the world, and they're not going to know anywhere where Matthew is, not going to know anywhere where Mark is. And sometimes we got to slow down, smell the roses, and remind people where that is. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke, I believe this, takes the most time of all through the Gospels with the story of the coming of Jesus, more than Matthew. Mark has hardly anything, but John takes a different approach. But in Luke chapter 1, I want us to read, starting with verse 26. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, but there's a part of the scripture that I also want to bring in the New King James, and I'll do that with everybody together. But look at this verse. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Now, I want us to slow down just a moment. Look at those words on your page. And God is about to do something supernatural that changed your life and changed my life. If you call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a powerful story. All the Bible's powerful, but this is powerful. It says, in the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Can we say that together? The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Pastor, I could preach on that part, and I'm not, but there's a lot right there. When you get, I don't understand it fully, but the favor of God, there's something about that. I pray favor over my family. I pray favor over the churches where we pastored. I pray favor, and I speak favor over you guys. There's something powerful that begins to happen when God's favor begins to come upon a church, comes upon a city, comes upon, I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen it in a city. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. Mary's getting instructions from an angel. When's the last time that you had instructions from Angel Gabriel? He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Somebody shout amen. Now, verse 34, look at this. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. That's a whole nother story, but there's something supernatural there happening. For no word from God will fail. Now, this is what I want you to hear. I like that in the NIV, but if you got the New King James, maybe even the King James, I like the translation. It says this, for with God, nothing will be impossible. I don't know about you, church, but we're living in a time, especially right now, that this verse needs to be planted on your lips, in your mind, in your heart, that for with God, nothing will be impossible. Do we have anybody in this place that believes that? If you do, give the Lord a great big hand clap. About to finish here. Verse 38 says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered. Can we say that together? I am the Lord's servant. We're going to come back to that. May your word, Mary says, may your word be unto me as fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Now, look at this. I think I've got a slide for this too. But if you jump on down to verse 46, after she meets Elizabeth, she breaks into what we call a famous song. And this song goes like this. Verse 46, I believe we've got it up there on the overhead for you. Oh, this is Mary now. She's gotten the news of who she's about to carry and what is about. This is a very supernatural moment in Mary's life. And verse 46 says, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. Verse 47, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Oh, let me say that again. Oh, how I praise the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in my God and my Savior. What an amazing story about Mary. Some people think that she was no more than 16, 17, or 18 years of age when she was betrothed to Joseph. This caused problems for him. We're going to talk about that just for a moment. So an angel had to visit, as we read, had to visit Joseph, not to put her away and divorce her for his, or for this shameless, seemingly immorality, but that God had intervened like never before. How many of you have ever had God intervene like never before? How, oh my, we got a church full, Pastor. He would be the Messiah. He would be called the Son of God, the one that Israel had been waiting for. Now, Mary, when she visited her cousin Elizabeth, she breaks into this psalm. It's a powerful psalm. My soul praises the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And the rest of the song, which I left out, she's so happy. She's so filled with joy. Everybody say joy. Joy. And did you know that that first Christmas, the birth of Christ, Mary was rejoicing and was happy. But I want to ask you the question, why was Mary so happy? Why was Mary so happy? You say, well, she's having a baby, right? But there are a lot of women who have babies, some depressed during their pregnancies. They're depressed when their child is born. They're depressed when they take the child home. I've dealt with women like that because deeper things are going on in their life. Deeper things that even a child, a baby coming into this world could not even erase. So I want to ask this question again. Why was Mary so happy? Why was she so happy? Not that she was just about going to have a child. You would think that she would be afraid, right? Because she's having a child, now listen to this, a child now with no contact with a man, no sexual relationship with a man. So you would think that she wouldn't be so happy. She would be filled with anxiety and wondering, what in the world is this child going to be about? I don't know about you, but I could feel this myself. If this was happening to my wife, oh my, I would have all kinds of anxieties. And I believe this is really true. And what will people think? Well, the fact of the matter is she was having, you ready, a Mary's Merry Christmas. And listen, God wants you and me to have a joyous Christmas. I'm going to go a little bit deeper here in just a moment, but just stay with me. Because I believe underneath and behind all the lights and the tree and the holly wreaths and everything else, there are a lot of depressed people at this very season. Pastor Harris, that's a statistic that has always grabbed my attention. What are you saying, Brian? There's more, did you know this? There's more suicide attempts at Christmas time than any other month of the year in America right now. There's more binge drinking. There's more binge drug use. There's more irritability and depression during Christmas as people look back, I believe sometimes on a simpler time in their life when they were what I call innocent. Life hadn't spun all out of its stuff, and they look back at when they were 10 maybe or 12 or 8 or 15 years old, and they look at their lives now, and now Christmas is what I call sets off some negative bell ringing thinking in their lives. And yet God, somebody shout, yet God. He sent his son into the world, and this first Christmas, he wants you to have a Merry Christmas. I'm after somebody this morning here today who's down, distracted, saddened by what's going on around you. There's not the peace on earth, goodwill toward men that Pastor Harris so awesomely preached about last Sunday. You're not enjoying, though, the peace of Christmas. You're not sharing in the joy that Mary had. And listen, that's the whole reason why Jesus came. Not for Mary only, but for all of us. for you and for me. And I know some of you are thinking, well, Pastor Brian, I know that. There might be someone in here that doesn't know that. That we would, not just at Christmas time, but all year long, enjoy that peace on earth, the goodwill toward men, that joy unspeakable, and that full of glory. So I want to go after anyone that's missing that, and I want to point you to why Mary had such a merry Christmas. For those of you that would say, Brian, that's a good word, but to be honest with you, I love the Lord today. I'm going to include you in this. And God has worked beautiful things in my life. Somebody shout amen. And to you, I would say, I want your joy to be deeper this morning. I'm speaking to somebody. I want you to have the best Christmas you've ever had, because there is depths in God's peace and joy that none of us have ever experienced. Somebody shout amen. Oh, I feel like we're going somewhere this morning. The Bible says this. I love this passage of scripture. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? That the Lord is. That the Lord is. I'm going to preach on this side. Well, that's pretty good. That the Lord is. Woo, give yourself a hand clap over here. That was good. They got with me on that one. But did you know that he can get gooder? I told you, you're going to have to ask my wife for interpretation. I know gooder's not good English. Just stay with me. I know that's not a word, but anyway, he can get gooder. Oh my, I prayed for a young man here, right here. The presence of the Lord on you strong. I mean, just strong, praying for healing for you, and just, wow. And sometimes it's so neat when I get to pray for people, my wife and I do, and we just can sense that the goodness of God and what he's doing a deep work in your life and in your, I don't know you, but in your heart. And man, it's just going deeper. It's just going deeper. There's a wooing like the Holy Spirit is doing in your family. It's just a wooing to the things of God. I don't know how new any of this is, but man, there's just a preciousness to you. And it was just awesome to see that. It was gooder, man. It was a gooder moment. It was a gooder moment. He can show his peace, his joy in a deeper way in your life. So that it can what? Overflow into others. Woo, we're like cups overflowing. And when it starts to overflow a cup, anything that's around that cup is going to get spilt on. I think sometimes we just need to do a little bit of spillage in church sometimes. We just need to spill over on some people here. And then as we spill out of the church, we spill into our community, we spill into our neighbor's house, and we just, it's just the goodness of God. It's just good. It's just good. I hope this isn't being videotaped, because I just said some just gooder and spillage, and pastor's going, where is he going with this? I'm going to get back to my notes. But that's what we're after today. So what's the secret to Mary's Merry Christmas? It just wasn't the baby. It wasn't. It's powerful. What was going on in her psychologically and in her soul that made her, even before the baby was born, she's like going off with excitement. You read that whole song? She is just having her moment. My soul praises the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And the baby hasn't even been born yet. You got to go with me this morning. I believe there are three simple things we passed. And I believe we passed them in the text earlier. Let's see if we can highlight a few of them, or these three. Mary was so happy because she knew something. If you're taking notes, this will be a good time. Mary was so happy because she knew something. We don't know anything about her prior life, really, and why she found favor in God's sight. But when the angel came to her, the angel Gabriel, and spoke to her and told her the unfolding plan of redemption and that she was going to play such a prominent role in, Mary knew one thing for sure. Number one, if you're taking notes, Mary knew, I think I've got it up here on the overhead for you, God is alive, and with him, nothing is impossible. Let that sink in just for a moment. Brother, I didn't bring my towel. I'm always bringing my towel, and I didn't bring my towel, but we're good. Sometimes when you do this with this, it sticks on your forehead. You get that flint. Oh, don't you just love your pastor? Come on, lift your hands in the air like you do care. Come on, lift your hands in the air, give him praise. You know why preachers do that? Because they got to wipe their foreheads. If this wasn't being videotaped, I'd tell you another story. I have to tell that off tape. Not that it's bad, it's just hilarious. So, oh my. So a lot of us don't know that, and that's why we're not happy. Listen, God is alive, right? Is he alive? God's not a doctrine. Hear me now. God is alive. God is not just a song you sing. God is alive. God's not a church building that you can go to once a week. Thank God for this church. But God is alive. He's the living God. Can we just put our hands together this morning? He's a living God. He speaks. He acts. He intervenes in people's lives. How many of you know that to be true? All over this place, hands going up. All over this place. Many people, listen to me, go to church. Theologians, hear me. Theologians and sometimes even pastors, I are one, lose the knowledge, hear me, that God is alive. What are you talking about? Oh, if you ask them, is God alive? They'll say, of course God is alive. He's not dead. But they're not living with the consciousness that God is alive. Just let that sink in for a moment. They're not listening and watching and waiting to see day by day to what God is going to do. If you're in a big situation, a bad situation, get your hand out, put it over your eyes, and begin to look unto the hills where your help comes from. And then one day you'll see maybe a cloud that's just the size of a hand. Oh my goodness. Help us, Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, once in a while, when something really bad happens, they think about God. We do. And they go to him with a prayer request. Yep. But Mary wasn't like that. She wasn't. She knew that our God is a living God. Not only for Mary's life, which was wow, but her cousin Elizabeth. She was too old to have children and was barren, and she and Zechariah had been visited by God and blessed so that now she was pregnant with child, and this child would be John the who? Oh my goodness. It's a word, church pastor. My heavens, this is good. I'm going to save it for the last. This is what I heard. I'm going to say it. This is what I heard. So you probably wouldn't want to be in our hotel room last night because it just turns into a big old prayer chamber. And so we don't watch TV. We don't watch ESPN, but we had hours. And at the very end, I look over my notes and I get right to the end and I close it. And I go, okay, God, I feel like we're going where you want us to go. What would you like to say? And here's what I heard the Lord say after about 30 minutes. And this is what I want to give you. It's real simple. He works simple with me. That way, maybe I'm simple-minded. Make room. Amen. Make room. Yes. That's going to help somebody. What does that mean? Make room in your home for the things of God. Make room in your workplace. Make room in your automobile as you're driving to work. Make room for more of God. Spend that time with him. I feel like, man, I feel something with that. The angel said, I love this. The angel said, for with God, nothing is impossible. How many of you can say that? Can say that this morning? That with God, in some circumstances that you've been in? Oh, I can. We could give you a list, right? Yep. Oh, we're going to have a Merry Christmas. I don't care what's going on. If you know that God is alive and with him, nothing, absolutely nothing is what? impossible, you too will be singing, "My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Because if you don't know that, you can go to church, you can sing in the Christmas show, you can light candles, you can have a Christmas tree, you can still be depressed over the holidays, because what brings joy and peace is to know that our God is not dead. The tomb, amen, is empty. Jesus is alive. Come on and let's put our hands together in this place this morning. He's alive. This is why Mary was singing. This is why he was singing. She was singing. Oh God, increase our faith in this place today. Help us, Lord, to know that you're not. Help people to know in this community that God, you're not dead, but alive. And there were a few times in my life that I wanted to quit the ministry. Maybe more a little few times. Sunday was good. I was ready to quit on Monday. Lord brought me back. Get ready for the next Sunday. There's those moments we've been to. We're real people, right? We go through real things. It seemed like a dark cloud at times in my ministry, hovering over my head. But thank God he's alive. Oh, listen, if you'll call upon him today, he'll answer you. And with him, nothing is impossible. Isn't that good? Tell your neighbor this morning, God is alive. Tell him. That's why Mary was singing. This is what the enemy wants to rob us from. Let's continue quickly. Number two, she knew something that gave her that Merry Christmas. God is alive, and no situation is too hard for him. But number two, why she was so happy was this: when the angel visited her and told her these amazing things, she said the simple sentence, "I am the Lord's servant." Let's say that together. I am. I love a move of God. I love revival, but I'm here to tell you, I think in the churches of America right now, we need to have a revival in servanthood. Oh, come on now. Some of you are looking at me. Jesus said, "I didn't come to be served." He says, "I came to serve." Jesus said that. Oh, there's something that begins to happen when we begin to serve one another. Did you know there's only one time in your Bible, in the New Testament, that God blesses competition? And it says this, it says, when you're showing honor to your brother or your sister in Christ, it says, outdo each other. Your Bible says compete, compete. I think this is a house of honor. I can sense it when I walk in. I can just sense it when I walk in. There's an honor to the presence of God. There's an honor to worship. There's an honor to the Word of God. There's an honor to the man and woman of God. There's the honor to each other. It's just amazing. Not every church has that. God help us all. You want to be happy this Christmas? You want to know a new level of peace? Not just that he's living, but that you submit yourselves to him and say, "I am the Lord's servant." The Bible says this. It says that Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Lord means that we submit to him and he runs our life. That's not popular in the world we're living in. That's why Mary was so happy. She said, in the midst of all this, "I am the Lord's servant. I don't understand, Lord." It's okay to do this too. "I don't understand, Lord, how you're going to work out all the stuff that you're saying, but here I am, and Lord, I am your servant." Mary was so happy that she was the Lord's servant. What do servants do? They obey orders. Go with me now. But we get this backwards. We think if I can get enough money, enough leverage, then I can do what I want. That's the American dream. I call it the lie. Get enough of whatever so you can do what you want, because then you'll be happy. That's not the way to be happy. Haven't we seen it over and over again, even lately in our news, that everyone is a slave to something? Go with me this morning. You say, "No, I'm free, Brian. No, I'm free." You're not free. You're taking orders. Everyone in this building is taking orders from something or someone. Where are you going at with this? I'm glad you asked. Some people are obeying the impulses of the world's culture. I call them peer groups. What's in? What's out? What's in style? What's not in style? What's really important in the industry or whatever? It's like we do whatever the world says to do. Why? Because I've got to be in. Hear me. I saw a person in the store the other day, and I had to, it was part of my notes, I had to get it in there. I saw a person the other day in the store, and she was wearing a pair of jeans. And you know those jeans with the holes all in them? You with me? Every once in a while, I kind of want to buy some, and then I kind of go, well, I'm 52, maybe I shouldn't wear something like that. I don't know. You know, my wife goes, oh, baby, you'll look good in it, but just go with me. Maybe not when you hear the whole story. But I believe this young lady went a little overboard. She had no knee in her jeans. She had no thigh. It was cut out. No bottom. Like, why even wear jeans? Right? Why was she wearing those? Because something was planted in her. It's what's in. Isn't that amazing? I remember back in our day, brother, a little bit before your day, I remember the stonewashed jeans. We paid good money. And then we got that little note in there that said, ooh, you might have some dirt in your pocket from the stones because it was washed with stones. And we like, oh, this is cool. You paid money for used, beat up, cut up jeans. You know how much money 2 years ago, I don't know last year, 2 years ago, teenagers, you know how much money they spent in America? $64 billion at Christmas. Billion. $64 billion. Teenagers. Ooh, teenagers, are you tithing? Woo! I'm gonna start getting meddling right there. Come on now. Oh, some people are a slave to money. I remember reading a story in the news not too long ago. They found an elderly person, true story, living in a large city, living almost like a homeless person. She was in an apartment that barely had heat, and then they found out that the woman had over $1 million in the bank. Couldn't spend it. Why? Because the thing possessed her. She was driven by money. Can't spend it. I'll have a little less, so I'll just keep saving it. So she dies like a homeless person with a bit in the bank. Oh, help us, Lord. But Mary said this, you know why I'm so happy. I am the Lord's servant. When you get your orders from God, come on, from Jesus Christ, when you get your orders from the Lord, when God starts giving you his thoughts and gives you him your mind, and when you give him your mind, when you give your body to God, and when you only do with your body what God wants, you think that's a bad thing? That's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Haven't we all found that when we made all the decisions, we steered the ship, we ended up on the rocks? Don't we all know that? In one way or another, isn't the wisest thing to do is give your life away? Hear me now. Because you're going to give it away to somebody anyway. Something is going to rule you. Pride, lust, the world, flesh, God forbid the devil. What's a demon-possessed person? Hear me. It's a person under the what? Control of Satan. Read your Bible. Jesus encountered many people like that. Pastor, mark my words, it's coming. It's just going to be the norm. It's not weird. It's the norm. I think there are people out there right now that have a spirit of infirmity. Not everybody. There's not a demon behind every rock, but the spirit of infirmity. And I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to break every bondage, to cure every disease. Amen? Coming in for a landing. Brother Brent, if you want to come on back, that'd be great. Brent, I got to say something. It's out in my notes. You got a gift, brother. He don't like that, and that's okay. But I'm going to give you honor, and I know your pastor honors you and the people do, but there's a gift. Unbelievable. The whole praise team, God bless every single one of you. My wife, I just looked over at my wife and I just said, oh, it's just so good to be in the house of the Lord. Because everywhere we go, we don't always get that. Hey, make sure you're praying for them. Pray for the praise team. Pray, lift them up during the week. Lift them up. My goodness, the things that they can go through, but God brings them through. So what is a spirit-filled person? It's what? It's someone that's totally controlled and yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. You want to have that Merry Christmas today? Stop fighting and just say, I am the Lord's servant. That's why she was so happy. Can we just say yes to that this morning? Can we just do that? Can we just do that? Oh, let me see your hand this morning. Oh, can we just do that? How many of you here, I want to ask you this question. How many of you here wants from God all that he has planned for you in 2023? Come on. If we'll position ourselves like Mary, we're going to get to the third one. It's one of my favorites. It's a hard one. It's a difficult one at times. Number one, Mary. Remember, Mary had such a Merry Christmas because she what? She knew God is alive. And with him, nothing is impossible. But just as importantly, she had the grace to be able to say, here I am. Whatever you want. Pastor, I just feel that in the room today. There are folks that are in this room this morning, friend, that you've given your life to Christ. You've gotten saved. But boy, the will. He wants his will in your life. And he's saying, come unto me. Give it all. Give it all. Give it all. That's for somebody this morning. But just as importantly, she had the grace to be able to say, here am I, whatever you want. I am the Lord's servant. You see, this goes against the grain of what I call the American culture. 21st century thinking. I'm in charge. Don't tell me what to do. Right? Right? Number three. Then she had the faith to say, and I love this, let it be unto me according to God's word. Man. This is for some people right now. Let it be unto me according to God's word. As my mom used to say, now we're getting right into the kitchen. So just stay with me for a few moments. Mary was saying, may God's plan for my life be totally worked out. Even when I have no idea where you're going, Angel Gabriel, have a baby without knowing a man. Hear me. I must be tripping. If anyone could ever say they were tripping, it's Mary. But she said, I trust God enough, let it be his plan for my life, even though these promises sound amazing, let it be. Everyone shout, let it be. Listen, when we say let it be, I tell you what, this opens the door, hear me, to the supernatural. It just does. When you believe and you know that God is alive and nothing is impossible with him, when you're able to say, I am a servant of the Lord, and then you say, what you speak about me, so shall it be. I receive that by faith. Yeah, but what if God sends me to the mission field? What if God wants this or what if God wants that? Think about this. Listen, if he sent his son to die for you and me, do you think he's going to hurt you? No, he's a good God. Hear me now. Hear me now. For if he gave his only begotten son on a cross, that baby didn't stay in a manger. Praise God. He grew up 33 years old. They massacred him. For you, for me, God handled the sin question and made mercy and pardon impossible. Excuse me, made it possible. And after all of this, do you think he's going to lead us down some dark path and the bottom's going to fall out? Listen to me this morning, it's impossible. Hear me. I'm not talking about we go through rough things and hardships and those things. The ship still came apart, but he just said, everybody hang on to a piece of ship. We're going to make it. There's always a will. There's always a plan of God. It's always right around us. We got to pray. We got to seek the Lord, but it's always, there's a plan. There's a way. So I believe God has a word for you of what God wants to do in your life. But if you've got to come to the place, you have to, where you know that God is alive. Nothing is impossible. And then present your body as a living sacrifice. God, let your will be done. And I'll promise you this morning, heaven will open to you. Heaven will open starting today. This very week, you'll see God work in your life in an amazing way. If you could just bring yourself to a place of, I know, I surrender, and I believe that God's plan is the best plan for my life. I'm not going by what the world tells me. I don't believe that junk. I want to be in, but I want to be in with God. I want to be in with Jesus in this place today. Pastor, I just sensed this about midway through. I think it'll just, you're about to sing a couple of songs, right? Can I have everybody just stand to your feet this morning? I believe the Lord's going to touch you in just a special way this morning. There's something that when we gather into the altars, I believe this is a church that believes in the altars. I could see it during worship. Did you know what? I got saved in the altar. Did you know what? I got healed in the altar. Did you know what? I got filled with the Holy Ghost in the altar. This old boy from South Carolina, friend, there's nothing like it. Can we just do something a little bit different maybe? I don't know. Maybe you're accustomed to this. Maybe you're not. But here's what I want you to do, if you would. Everyone in here, something that when we come into the altars, we're going to sing some songs together. I'm going to say a couple things with you. I'm going to turn this back over to the pastor. But can we just do me a favor? I want you to make your ways. We can squeeze in all the way here. We can squeeze into those chairs. If you're elderly here today, God bless you. Sit on the first or second row. Just come on. Just something about being in the, I know not everybody can stand for, we're not going to keep you long, but there's something that God can begin to do in your life. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I just want you to come. You just come in these altars too. Can you do that? All over this place, I'm gonna not beg you, but I'm gonna invite you. I'll beg you. Come on in the altars. Just come straight up front, all the way. Make room. All the way down the aisles, you're fine too, but just keep coming in the altars. Go, well, what will people think or say? You're coming. God bless you. God bless you. We're gonna worship him just for a moment. You ready, brother?
This alabaster jar is all I have worth. I break it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. You're far more beautiful, more precious than the oil. The sum of my desires and the fullness of my joy.
Come on, lift your voices, sing it.
Like you spilled your blood, I spill my heart as an offering to my King. Here I am.
Just before we go, just keep playing that. Every eye closed in this place, you're not right with Jesus this morning. No one please looking around. You're in the altars, but boy, you know what? There was a time where your heart just really beat for the things of Jesus, and you've grown cold, and you've just been reminded right now that, man, my life isn't where it needs to be at. It's not living for him. Maybe you're here in these altars and you were invited by a friend and you have never prayed any kind of prayer like this. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. You've never even prayed anything like that. Maybe there's a few of you don't even really realize what does salvation mean. Today you can know. Today is the moment. Today is the hour. Oh. Holy Spirit is here drawing you and wooing you. If that's you, it's one of you this morning, and I believe there's hands in this place that are going to go up, but just a moment, if that's you, just on the count of three, I just want you to, when I go one, two, three, I want you to just raise your hand. We're going to pray for you. We're going to remember you in this closing prayer. But if that's you in this place, you say, Brian, I want to be counted. I've not been living for Jesus. Maybe you've been cheating on your taxes all year long. Just hear me. I'm not saying that's from the Lord. I'm just saying you've been cheating and boy, that's just railed up in your mind, and you're saying, boy, I gotta get before the Lord. Whatever it is, this is the moment. This is the hour, because we're gonna have a Merry Christmas in this place today. On the count of three, if that's you, one, if that's you, just simply raise your hand just for a moment. If that's you, one, two, three, raise your hand quickly. Raise your hand. Thank you, young lady. Keep it up. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Keep it up. Keep it up. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. I don't want to miss anybody. Come on, church. Let's do this together, can we? Everybody here. Oh, let's just do this together. Just repeat this after me. We're just going to talk to Jesus. That's what we're going to do. You ready? And if you raise your hand in this place, there was at least seven or eight, maybe more. I'm going to be conservative there. But you say, you know what? Remember me in this prayer. You're coming back to Christ. Maybe it's the first time. But if that's you in this place today, I want everybody, your family, hallelujah, your family is now standing right beside you. If you felt like, well, I didn't have a family life growing up, you got one now. Oh my, you got a church family. And there's nothing like a church family. Nothing like it. Just get ready. Everybody in this place, the sound of my voice, let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, I love you. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Wash me this morning. And Jesus, I live for you. Help me, mold me, and make me what I ought to be. In Jesus' name. And dear Jesus, thank you dying on a cross for me. And now today, I'm a child of God who's alive, who's not dead, who's going to help me tomorrow, and he's helping me now. Jesus' name, thank you for my church family. Oh, come on now. If you believe that, church, let's give the Lord a great big...
Amen. Oh, praise God. That alabaster jazz, my favorite worship song. Can't sing it without crying every time. Can we sing that one more time? And then I got something for us to do before we go. Let's sing.
Here I am, take me as an offering. Here I am, giving every you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to have your way, Jesus. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, whatever you want to, 'cause here I am. Take me as an offering. Here I am. Every heartbeat for your glory. Here I am, take me as an offering. Here I am, giving every heart for your glory. Take me.
Sing worthy with me.
Worthy, worthy, you are worthy.
Thank you so much for the word today. You said something that touched my heart, and I want to go with it before we leave today. And we try to create the culture here that this isn't just church and we just do our thing and then we get out. And I mean, if you want that and you just want to check out and check the box, that's the church down the street. That's not here. So God bless you. Pray I see you in heaven. But if you want to be a part of First Home Bible, we try to create a culture of family. I want to encourage you, church, if you can remember this, read Romans 12 this week. It's two things in one. It is about living as a sacrifice of God, exactly what we were hearing today, some of the stuff that was talked about. I just want to read a few verses with that before we go, because it's real and it's genuine. With a world that's so divided, with the pain that we go through and the stuff that we're really facing, Romans 12 is powerful in so many ways. It tells us not only how we should live separately as ourselves, but how we should live together as a body of Christ. So I just want to read Romans 12, 9 through 16. And then I'm going to ask you to do something before we go. It says, don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. The world's good at being fake like that, you know? I don't want us to be like that. It says, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Yes, I'm just proud I said that word right. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, just look around, guys. Just look around each other. When God's people are in need, there's people in here that are in need. Be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Last verse. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Come on now. Words good. Amen. You give him a hand clap. Number one, no sickness in the house of God. I'm just praying. I know some of y'all freaking out saying there's a lot of sickness going on. Yeah, but you're being obedient to what the man of God said because he felt like he listened to the word of God. So I pray that there will be no spreading of germs or sickness right now in the name of Jesus, because I'm going to ask you to do something. Amen? Amen. COVID, you suck. Amen. We don't want you. Flu, influenza, we don't like you. Right? Yeah, my Jesus died so I didn't have to have that stuff. And then when I do have it, because I am a natural person, I'm going to heal quicker than anybody average out there because I'm supernatural. Amen. So, I get it. I know some of y'all are freaking out right now. But I want to do this before we leave. Before you go, seriously, please try this. Left side, right side, right? This isn't that movie that I love. That's really good. Remember the Titans? Okay. And then the middle. We don't really know each other sometimes because you sit on a different side of a church that's really not that big, right? But I want you to go, before you go today, I want you to genuinely go up to someone that you do not know. Do not know. It's easy to go up to people you know. The Bible says it's easy, right? And Brian's, you're going to be busy, brother. Come on. You guys, hey, take your bride. Just sneak. Sneak out right now. Go. I want you to go to them and I want you to look at them and say, hey, my name is blah, blah, blah. What's your name? Awesome. Good to meet you. How can I pray for whatever you're going through right now? And I don't want you to take it home and put it on your prayer list. I do want you to do that. But I want you first to pray right there. Okay? So I want you to do that right now before we go. If you're at home, you missed it. This is awesome. But we'll be back next week. We love that you're here. It's always better in the house. Always. Always better in the house. We're glad that you joined us. But maybe there's somebody in your house that you need to pray for. Or you're in the car. Pray for them. But drive by sight, not by faith. Right? You got to drive with your eyes open. Praise God. So, but we just go ahead and spread out. Just start. Talk to somebody you don't know. Pray for them genuinely. And then let's go. Amen? Amen. I see people jetting out of here.